harvest.
Whew, I am warm today. For the past week at least now, I've been thinking on things as far as about God. Shouldn't come as a surprise, seeing how I am the pastor. But Phil and I were talking the other day, and it might be more than a week now that I think it might have been. And I've just been thinking about it, about the words I am. Jesus spoke these words when they came into the garden to arrest him. And they said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth. Are you him?" And he said, "I am." Now, if you paid attention to your Bible and what took place in that transaction, when he said, "I am," the Bible says they all fell. Everybody in front of him fell down. And then later on, you'll read about a naked boy following. And all he had around him was a little piece of linen originally. And when they tried to grab the linen, they grabbed the linen. He ran back to town naked. When he said, "I am," there was so much power coming forth from that name that it knocked the guards down, it raised the dead. The power itself was surrounding that entire area. And I've been thinking on that, and thinking, I was like, God, there's got to be some great, what, you know, there's some sort of power in that name that, you know, if we harness it, and here's how we start thinking, right? We start thinking, how can I harness this to my benefit? And as I've been, even as up to last night, I went to bed thinking about this, and I woke up this morning thinking about this, and I'm going to explain to you what I am means. I'm going to explain to you the real power behind I am. It's not magic. It's not something you can take and abuse. You're not going to be able to walk out and say, in the name of I am, this will happen, that'll happen. It has nothing to do with that. So open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 3. Go to verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I am come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent you.'" Now, there's a couple things we need to look at here. I like making sure you have a good base on what was taking place at this time. First off, Moses is on the mountain we call Mount Sinai in Midian, tending sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, who was a priest, who's also a descendant of Abraham. They were the children of Keturah, who Abraham married after Sarah had died. And he's up on this mountain and he's tending his sheep. And the Bible if you read on back up, go back a couple verses there in chapter 3, you'll see that the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses. Anywhere you see the Bible talk about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, you need to understand something. That's the Son of God. That is Jesus. In the New Testament, he's manifested as the Son of God. In the Old Testament, he is the angel of the Lord. Thus, it is capitalized. That's the only way they knew how to distinguish this angel was different than Gabriel or Michael or any of the others. He's special because he is God. And then later on right here it says, and God said to him, I am. Just a few verses forward it said, I am, or he said the angel of the Lord appeared. So anyhow, which is why when Jesus said, I am, when they were arresting him, it was the same power. But the Bible says that he turned, that Moses caught a glimpse of this, and he turned and went over to it. I love it when John Bevere was talking about this a few years ago in a series he was doing. He said, notice that Moses turned away from what he was doing to focus on God. He turned. He intentionally left. He was looking for lost sheep. He intentionally left the sheep and went over here to where this bush is burning. And God saw that. And he told him, I know what's going on. Now mind you, in Moses' mind, I never thought about this until I read some other thoughts on the whole thing. In Moses' mind, he already had in his thinking that he was somewhat of a deliverer because he tried to deliver a Hebrew slave who was being beaten. He already, there was already a calling on his life. He didn't know how to answer it. He thought, I'll do it the only way I know. You got to understand something about Moses. Moses was not some old, wimpy, weenie dude. When he left, he was 40. And he comes back, he's in his 80s. He's been gone for 40 years. So he's there, but he's got the mind of a general who has fought in battles. More than likely, Moses had fought in battles for Egypt, as well as many Israelites. Thus, that's some of the historical reviews show that when they looked, when the Egyptians saw how well they fight, and they didn't lose anybody, they conquered their enemies. They said, we better figure out real quick how to bring them into captivity and control them, or else they'll overrun us. But Moses had all this. Moses was a smart man. He was an educated man. He knew languages. He knew reading and writing. I'm sure the archaeologists would love to have him right now to interpret some of these hieroglyphics. But he knew all this stuff. And in all that he knew, he looked over and he said, that bush should not be burning. Spontaneous combustion is really nothing new. Things get hot enough and dry enough, they will burn. Okay? However, the bush wasn't being consumed. That was the different part about this. The bush, the leaves were still green. It wasn't cracking and popping. It was just in flames. It was different than anything he had ever seen before. And so he turned from what he was doing and he went over. And God said, stop right there and remove your sandals because you're on holy ground. And after talking to him, it settled in Moses' mind. I'm going to believe what this bush is saying to me. As crazy as it may sound, I'm going to believe it. Because I know what I'm seeing. I know what I'm experiencing. By the way, who are you? Who shall I say sent me? Tell them I am that I am. I am has sent you. So what does I am that I am mean? First off, God is saying, I am, I have always been. You didn't create me. This is not a figment of your imagination. This is nothing that you had to try to conjure up to get people to follow. I've always existed. I am the God of your fathers, but I was the God of Adam. I was the God of creation. I'm the God before. I don't need anybody making up extra stories and things and tacking them on to me to try to get people to believe. Honestly, I think that is probably the most detrimental thing we can do as believers, is try to coerce people to believe. And the reason I say that is we try to barter with them. If I can prove to you there's a God. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. In other words, you can't believe that there's a God without faith first. You've got to have faith. Because none of it makes any sense. I have a cousin. I think he's atheist. But he's all the time posting stuff about creation and science and all this. And truth of the matter is, there's part of me that wants to say, well, let's sit down and talk about all this. That's not going to help him. Okay, because he's believed Star Trek and Star Wars and all that are real. he loves his science fiction. But here's the problem I think he has is he can't believe. I don't know what happened that stopped him, that killed faith. But I can't say, here, let's look. It's going to take, just like Moses. Again, Moses had all this knowledge. He knows every god in Egypt. You've got to realize that too. He knows every one of them. He knows what their sacrifice requirements are. He probably knows the priests. He knows all of this stuff. And one thing he has seen is they are dead. Not one god, not one statue has ever spoken to the priests or to him. And the only thing he knows is, I'm on a mountain in the land of Midian, tending sheep, and there's a bush that's burning. And the fire, and out of that fire comes a voice that is saying, I am the God of your fathers. And he begins to explain some of this stuff. And something inside of Moses. See, every person, every one of us has a soul. Every one of us has a spirit. We have a body. Your spirit is your mind, will, and or your soul, as you were. Your mind, will, and emotions. It makes up your character, who you are. Okay? Your spirit, though, is really who you are. It's the part that lives forever. When you leave here, you go on. We were actually just talking about this. Was it yesterday with Jesse? We were talking about all these people like Walt Disney, you know, having his head's frozen, or he's frozen in cryogenics below Disneyland or World, whichever one it is. And, you know, you got Stalin who's on display. They've pickled Einstein's brain and all this. And they're still trying to figure out how they can bring life back into these bodies. That will never happen. Just like somebody who's been in a bad accident or they are dead, you can hook them to a machine. You can breathe for them. You can eat for them. You can make their heart pump with electrical current. You can even keep their kidneys and their feces and all that stuff going. What you cannot do is bring life back into them. It's gone because we're a spirit. And so that spirit wants to believe. That spirit is searching for God. That is why there are so many people who have so many different ideas on what is God, because something presented itself. Most people today, self is God. They believe, well, I don't serve a God. Yes, you do. You serve the God of self, yourself. And others, well, they choose to believe an idol. They choose wealth, they choose this, they choose that. They choose something to believe in. And they aren't choosing God because they have not had the experience of I am the God of your fathers. I am the God who promised Abraham all this land. I am the God who told Abraham that if he would trust me and believe me, out of all the gods that Abraham knew in the land of Ur, in the Chaldeans, you got to understand, Abraham's father was not a godly man. He had a room full of idols. And just like most people who are serving many gods, they got one they dedicate, as Paul pointed out to the Romans. I want to talk to you about the pillar you've got over here marked for the unknown God. He's the one true God. You don't know him because they don't have any form. You can't put him in the form of a bull, of a snake, of a dog, of a horse, of a cow, anything. You cannot put him in that form because he doesn't have that form. The Bible says we were created in his image. He's very close to us. I don't know what the face of God looks like. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I've seen the face of God. I had a vision one time, and I don't think it was actually God. I think it was of Jesus. But I don't know. I couldn't see the face. The Bible says we cannot look upon his face. But I promise you, he looked a lot like us. Not just white people. He looked like all of us mixed. And I got to tell you right now, he wasn't this little beanpole that everybody pictures God looking like or Jesus looking like. He was buff. You know, the me I see sometimes. That's who God, I believe, looks like. So God told Moses, I am has sent you. I'm the God here. I'm the God of yesterday. You didn't have to make up. And Moses, today to you, I am the God of today. I just gave you an experience. I just showed you who I was. I showed you that I'm not here to kill you. I showed you that I love my people. See what? Everybody looks at, well, if God loved them, why were they in slavery? Blah, 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 blah. Well, first off, they weren't in slavery all 400 years. They said they'd be a stranger in another man's land for 400. And second off, if you remember correctly, the Bible says not one feeble one left. So unlike, you know, Cecil B. DeMille's version of the Ten Commandments, there wasn't somebody running up, come here, old man, let me pick you up and put you on this cart. You know, you're on your crutches. They all walked. I got a feeling some of them ran. But remember what they left with. All the riches of Egypt. God said, go to your neighbor and borrow. I think this is where we get the term, can I borrow that? Can I borrow a cup of sugar? Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll just give it to you. Please don't bring it back. Can I borrow your gold? Can I borrow your fine linens? And they said yes. Yeah, that just scratch everything. You know, you're an Etch-a-Sketch. Shake it up and mix it all up and clear the board because that's not going to happen, but it did. God blessed them more than what they ever walked in there with. He said, I am the God of today. What he's telling us as believers, first off, I'm the God you didn't have to create. I'm the God who you do have to have faith first to believe that I am. That I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to experience God just by reading the Bible. Can I put it that way? You got to experience God by living. So many people want to get in the Bible and then they want to hole up in a cave or hole up in a castle on a mountain or run away and hide. You only experience God by being with others. Other people. Because God looked down and said, hey, it's not good that man's alone. Well, I can be alone. We all need our alone time, okay? Let's not get stupid about that. We all got to have some downtime. But we got to be around other people. That's what stirs love up in us. When we know something's going on in somebody else's life, ours may be at peace right now, but somebody else may be in turmoil, that we can extend our love, we can pray for them. We can hold their hands up. I am the God of today. God is telling us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to leave us in the midst of any battles, in any fights or anything. When God goes quiet, it's time for us to go quiet. Just calm the jets and let God have the reins. He's like, trust me. What you see over here, see, that's our problem. We're so emotional. People, we are the most. Sometimes I think it would be easier to have been a monkey. They don't run on emotions. They just run on instinct. Those of you that know monkeys know what I just did. They don't think about it. But we are so emotional, we let our emotions get caught up in decisions. We let our emotions get caught up in this and that. And most of the time it's somebody done did me wrong song time, right? That's because we don't get upset when it's somebody else. We don't get upset when it's our neighbor that got the shaft. It's us. We make up things. I got the shaft. Poor me. I got the shaft. I know that's the way I've looked at it. I don't know about you. You want to get me riled up? Make me think I got shafted. I'll get riled up. We all will. Oh, you messed with somebody in my family. We're ready to fight, boy, aren't we? And the truth of the matter is, if we would sit back and say, God, where you at? He says, kind of quiet right now. What do you think? Maybe we ought to take a cue from God. Calm ourselves. And see what God's working. See what God's doing in our life. Not only our life, but the lives of our children. The lives, that's why we can't rush in. I know that when the boys were little, you know, and somebody would do something or say something. Boy, I tell you what, I just wanted to run down to the school. First off, I'd ask how big the daddy is, whether I needed to take a 2x4 with me. I wanted to go down and I wanted to set them straight. I wanted to fix this. I wanted to stand against this. And, you know, thank God my wife is my voice of reason. Honey, you can't do that. You cannot run in there, gun. No, we won't even say that. You can't run in there, 2x4 swinging, and straighten up and defend your children. They've got to develop their own character. They've got to know how to handle this. Because there's coming a day, I won't hear about it. There's coming a day, I can't do anything about it. So they've got to trust God. They've got to trust God on their own. Just like you have to trust God on your own. Well, Pastor, don't care about me. No, I care so much about you, I won't get involved and rectify. I've tried it a couple times. It doesn't work out. Just let God. When I say I will pray with you, I think you need to understand, I believe God moves mountains. I believe God cracked this earth open to let water fly up. The flood of Noah. I believe God will do what he has said he will do. And that is exactly what I am means. I said I would do it. My promises are to the end. They will stand. If I said I'll do it, I'll do it. Oh, but God, hurry up, hurry up. It's our time. That's what we're worried about. We got our panties cranked up in such a wad. Nothing can comfort us. God, hurry up. Hurry up and do something. If this person gets elected, I'm leaving the country. Hasta la vista, baby. Whoever gets elected, God knows already who's getting elected. I know who I don't want elected, but I ain't got any other choices. Reagan's dead. But what we have got to realize is God said, I already know what's going to happen. I've got everything. Do you understand? He promised Israel a land. And guess what God knew was going to happen? That Adolf Hitler would be born. And Adolf Hitler, if you understand anything about him, he had the mindset, I got shafted by the Jews. That's where this all started. And then he read some things that Henry Ford had said and written about Jews. Henry Ford was a racist when it came to Jews. He would later regret it. But Hitler was going to happen, and God knew it. God knows the Antichrist is rising. The Antichrist is rising. The spirit, Jesus said, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. 2,000 years ago. So why are we surprised when we start seeing the manifestation? We're a Christian country. Do you know that there are churches today that are actually denying what the Bible says? They still call themselves Christian. You tell me we're a Christian country. I still believe we're a Christian country because I'm still here. But based on the fact that churches are throwing the Bible out today, well, God wouldn't let this happen. Really? He lets us make our own decisions. This is what people want to... I don't want to serve no God because I want to make my own choices. Hello? Does God make everybody's choices up in here? He gives you two paths. You get a choice. He says, if you go down this one, it's going to be rough and bumpy. You go down this one, I'm already there. So what happens? We choose this one and blame it on God. You made the decision. And here, there's a song I've been hearing on my phone, and it's called The Quiet, or The Calm, I'm sorry. And it says, let me be the calm in the storm you created. We don't want to look at it that we created it. We want to blame it on God. We want to blame it on the devil. That devil, he made me do it. The devil, he doing this. The devil did that. Okay, so your tires went flat because the devil was too cheap to go buy tires? Come on. I've heard people do that, and I walk out and look. Hey, listen, use tires. They're okay. I'm one of the original recyclers. I used to go to the junkyard, take them right off the car, but anymore, these guys beat me to it. And it's like, heck, I'll pay them $25 and they can mount the tire and all that for me. They're okay. Well, it's not a match set. Oh, for now, only certain cars today do you got to worry about that still. Four-wheel drive, I can promise you, you got to worry about it. You will tear up your front end. You will be buying new four-wheel drive mechanisms all the way across. But, you know, that tire doesn't match. I'm just so mad. It just bothered me so bad that I got one oddball tire. Shoot, there have been times I've been rejoicing if I had two matching tires. But I continued to trust God in it. And you know what? My last couple set of tires, God brought new. I kept trusting Him. I said, God, it's either pay my tithe or buy a new set of tires this month. It wasn't an option for me. Boom. I got a really good set. There were several times I got really, really nice tires for like $50. Michelin's. God gave me one set of tires. I bet we put 60,000 miles on those tires and they still had tread. They weren't even down to the little wear bar yet. God is proving to us, I will take care of you. I made you a promise, did I not? That if you would honor me with your tithes, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He pointed out to the children of Israel at one point. He said, listen, didn't you walk around in the desert? And did I not provide for you food? Did anybody wear out their sandals? I would ask if there's anybody that has a pair of shoes that are 40 years old, but I know at least one person who does. They're just kind of a throwback thing. Hey, I wore these playing basketball. However, you don't wear them today. And if you'd been wearing them for 40 years, they would have wore out. I mean, you're supposed to actually, today's shoes, you're supposed to replace them after, I think it's 500 miles if you're a runner. Believe it or not, that will add up real quick. Walking is the same deal. Well, these shoes, there ain't nothing wrong with them. Yeah, you wonder why your arches are falling, why they hurt? Buy new shoes. Your knees. But anyhow, so when God was saying, I am, when Jesus said, I am, he said, I am the promise. I am everything that you heard I would be. I am the stuff. And I'm here to fulfill what needs to be done. I'm going to prove. I'm going to give you an experience. See, we have to experience God. We have to have faith in God. We have to experience God. When I prayed that night and I told God, I don't want to know you through somebody in a pulpit. I don't want to know you through my wife, through my parents, through anybody else. I'm sick of that. I don't want to know you through stories. I want to know you personally. And here's what people think instantly happens. You know, that God takes you up out of your body and you go out and you fly around. And you know what God did? He gave me opportunities to trust Him. And when I've trusted God, when I took the right path, instead of the one I wanted to go down, you know, get to feeling a little adventurous. Hey, yeah, let's go down this path. You know, this one here, it's nice and clean. The road's not bumpy. That one's got a few bumps. Maybe we'll get some air and, you know, whatever. And then when we get halfway down through it and we realize we're broke down and we got to wait for a tow truck and I should have taken the other road. We'd have been to our destination by now. But you see, you get to experience God. God is not anything you can conjure up intellectually wise. You can't sit and argue with somebody about God. I know people have tried it. Come on, you got to believe me. No, you've got to experience it. And what you have to do is just believe. That's it. Just believe that He is. And watch what He'll do. But if you're not going to believe, you have faith. Well, I just don't have faith. Yes, you do. Bible says that every man has been given the measure of faith to believe. We all have it. You've got it for, well, you know what, Pastor, I got this big thing coming at me and I just don't know if I got the faith to believe it. Well, yeah, you do. You believe Jesus Christ is Lord. You believe God is God, right? Now just trust Him and believe that He is. When we understand who I am really is, there should never be another doubt in our mind. God, you said you'd look out for my children. And by the way, I'm going to throw this out there. They make their own decisions. Come on. Has anybody not had to deal with your own decisions? Good and bad. Yeah. But now that you trust God, He can work it out. He can work it out. He will work it out. You just got to trust Him. Well, you're not moving fast enough, God. You know, this goes back to a whole lot of stuff going on, you know, in the world today. And this is my cousin's problem. You know, he's right in some of it. Christians are so closed-minded when it comes to science. That ain't how that happened. Dinosaurs were on the ark. Seriously. Do you know how big those things are? The ark had a definitive size. It's only like 500 feet long. I do not believe there were baby or even teenage T-Rexes running around on there. That's still a pretty big monster. A brontosaurus? Come on. They're like, what, 130 feet long? 35 feet tall? No. Well, you know what happens? Christians don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to do as James, as I believe it was James, said, or Timothy, right? Rightly discern. My brain just shut down. James or Timothy? Doesn't matter. Look it up. It's in your Bible. He says, rightly discern the word of truth. That means you got to get in and you got to learn a little bit. Today, there is no excuse. Most of us in here know how to read. And if you don't, I know one man who had difficulties reading, but he took to reading his Bible. He can read. He loves to read. Get in there. Discern it. Start finding out what it says, because I'm going to tell you right now, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that's a whole another lifetime. And the earth was tohu wabohu. It meant it was covered in water and the Holy Spirit was hovering over it. And the whole description of that is the Holy Spirit hovered over the faces of the water, of the faces of the deep in judgment. Fast forward to Ezekiel and you'll start putting the picture together. You'll start putting signs together and say, hey, wait a minute. God is the God of now. God is the God of then, of now and tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen, because we got to talking about, the Bible says He's not going to flood the earth. We saw a rainbow. And then we just kept looking at that rainbow. We thought, well, that rainbow looks like it's over our barn from 42. And we kept driving. Well, that rainbow looks like it's over there. And then we heading up to Mansfield. That rainbow, where on earth is that rainbow at? Because we could see it. And to think that God said, I want you to see this. I make you this promise. I'll never flood the earth to destroy it again. I'm going to burn it. Faye, I think the sun blowing up would kind of take care of that. Just saying, we won't be here. Don't worry about it. Oh, the earth is going to blow up. I love these scientists that come out. The earth is going to be destroyed in a billion years. And I care why? I'm just being serious. I got maybe 100 years on this planet. And you're telling me in a billion that's going to implode? Yeah, I'm not worried. Aren't you worried about your children? Yeah, we don't. I don't. Yeah. No. But you see, he's looking at what, my cousin is looking at what he can see. And he's saying that Christianity and religion does not line up with science. Well, the truth of the matter is, they really do, if you'll listen. And if you'll quit saying, well, God did this, God did, you have no proof. Get in there and start studying. There will come proof. Listen, they said for centuries that the crossing of the Red Sea happened over here. Now it happened in a lake. It happened in a swamp. Then it happened over here. They can't find evidence. And then back in the late 70s, a man named Ron Wyatt found the evidence. Go to WyattArchaeology.com. You'll see it. Chariots, wheels, parts of chariots, hooves, bones, swords, helmets, on the other side of the Red Sea. Not where we thought at all, and Mount Sinai is not where we thought at all. Because I'm going to point this out again, because I'm wanting you to understand, if you get in your Bible, it will tell you. When God told him in Exodus chapter 3, he said, I want you to bring them to this mountain to worship. Where was Moses? What land? Land of Midian. Land of Midian has never been the Sinai Peninsula. It's always been in Saudi Arabia. Always. To this day, there is a mountain with a black top surrounded by an 8-foot-high fence with concertina wire surrounding it. And words in Arabic saying, no trespassing. And around it, there are 12 piles of stone. The proof's there. We just got to quit being superstitious and look. I'm not getting bent out of shape if they lost the piece of the cross. We know this is the blood of Christ because the DNA matches. Dad, that's the church. And we wonder why people don't believe us. We say God or that Jesus is a deity. This is his blood because it matches. How dumb can we be and still breathe oxygen? Okay, so the Shroud of Turin. Maybe it's real. I don't know. Jesus wasn't the only one who was ever beaten. He definitely wasn't the only one ever crucified. That'd been in practice for a long time. We have to trust and let God give those people experience and talk to them like we got some brains. Yep, nope, nope, that's all demons. Those are all demons. No, it's your hot water heater. You got air in your lines. Oh, hear that scraping? There's something trying to get in. It's a tree limb scratching on your roof. Feel free to trim the tree. Your demon will go away. Your ghost. Do I believe there's demons? Yes, I do. I've seen them. But I don't go looking for demons in everything running around. But there are people. You got a demon. You got a cold. No, I think I just got a bacteria and it needs to run its course, or I need to take some medicine or stand in faith. Doesn't matter to me. But I know one thing. I trust in I am. The God I didn't create, the God I couldn't create. Because I'd have made him a little meaner. Just saying. Maybe a little more vengeful. You know, something like Zeus. A god created by man's imagination of what they thought God should be. He's the God here and now. He's the God who loves me. He's the God who cares for me. He's the God who heals me. He's the God who made a way for me. He's so many things. And he's the God of tomorrow. He's already there. He knows my first days and my last days. He knows every hair on my head. He knows every one of them that has fallen out. He knows everything about me. And yet he says, I love you. He says, I will care for you. In spite of yourself. That's what amazes me. He loves me in spite of myself. Even when I'm sitting there like, oh, that was stupid. And he's like, yep, it was. And let me explain something here real quick. I know I'm wrapping up, but I want you, when I talk to you about things like that, and I say that God sometimes talks to me in ways that you're thinking, that can't be God. You need to understand something. God is multifaceted. Your perception of God and his personality is probably going to be different than mine. God speaks to me in a way I understand. Because if God goes using million-dollar words, this little redneck is lost. But God speaks to me plain. Sometimes my sarcastic type of humor. I said something one day to the boy pumping the gas, and I wasn't insinuating anything. And he said, because I'm not a thief. And I thought, dude, I was only kidding. And then I realized he doesn't have a sense of humor. He really does. Not that type. I mean, he probably laughs at movies and stuff. But he does not have mine and Phil's type of sense of humor. I just had to throw you in there, man. We make for a bigger speed bump. But God is he's personal. He wants to get to know you personal. There are people, they are called to go out and pound the streets and crawl into the trash cans and pull people out. They had better start doing their job and quit saying, that's everybody's job. Because I got pastors, people I know who say, you know what, you need to be going out doing this, you need to be going out doing that. And I've come to the realization after 15 years of trying to do other things, I'd better stick to what God has told me to be doing. And one thing I pointed out to Angela, I says, yeah, we can go out and we can gather them from the highways and byways. The problem is, they gather them, put them here, get them saved, and they walk off. Remember when Jesus, he was praying, he said, Lord, everyone you gave me, I still have them. I still have them. That's the heart of a pastor. The heart of somebody who's wanting to put numbers and marks on their belt. Let's get numbers. Come on, we need numbers. I want you to understand something. In the Bible, God was never moved by numbers. He even told Moses not to take census. They did it anyhow, and so they carried on with that census. We get into the New Testament. What do? We count how many got saved. There were 3,000 added this day. There were 5,000 added that day. God's not motivated by numbers. He said, I'm going to cover this planet with people using one. Then he made it, took the one, made the two. And from there, here we are. All descendants of Adam. No matter what our family heritage is, no matter what our skin tones are, our hair type, we're all mutts. We'd like to say, well, I'm German, I'm this, I'm that. You're a mutt. You are 100% Heinz 57. That's all there is to it. And in this country, we're all just Americans. So if you want to know God, and I hope you do, I hope you want to know God more. That's my purpose, is to get you to know God more. Talk to Him. You have special places. My wife, there's places she just loves to go there, and that is her sanctuary. My sanctuary is still my shop. I go in there, and if I got something eating me alive, I can promise you in a little while, it's not bothering me anymore. It's not because I took my mind off of it. It's because I calmed my spirit and let God speak to me. Because, you know, when my mouth is running 90 miles an hour, God can't get a word in edgewise. Because I've already figured out how I'm going to exact justice in this situation. And it's not pretty. He says, just calm down and let me be God. All right. But God, nope. Then I got to just kind of start working on it again. And creating is usually what calms me down. It lets me do something. I calm down and God begins to speak to my heart. And I can listen. So, like I said, not everybody has a little prayer closet. There are people I know, they dedicate one room. They got a little, literally, sometimes it's a closet. That's great. If that is you, I applaud you. But do not bring conviction on everybody else because they don't have a closet they go crawl into. Or don't go trying to condemn people because they don't fast 3 days a week. You do what you're called to do, what you're supposed to do. God tells you to fast 3 days a week, bless God, you had better be fasting 3 days a week because there's a reason. And I'm going to tell you right now, so many people, listen, a fast is a fast. When he says fast, we have these, we call them partial fasts. Well, we fast this, or we fast that. Yeah, you can do all that. The whole point of it is to bring your spirit and your mind into alignment with God. And, you know, hey, I'm still on the computer. I'm still watching TV. I'm still drinking coffee. Those of you, I understand. I missed my sweet tea the other day, and it was a long day. You understand what I'm saying? A fast is a fast. That's why they fasted food. They didn't have a whole lot of other luxuries. They didn't have TV they could go plop down in front of. When it was time to be eaten, they were contemplating the Word. They were chewing on the Word. And then guess what happens? I promise you, the last time I fasted, God really did some things for me. He showed me some things and helped me. He gave me some courage to do some things. If you're stuck, and by the way, I'm going to tell you right, whatever God tells you to fast, do it. But one day can change a lot because you're no longer listening. And especially now, I'm so sick of commercials. I'm so-and-so and I approve this message. I really don't care who you are. But my opponent said this. My opponent did that. My opponent. Listen. If you're still confused, fast. First off, fast TV. Get your mind clear. At this point in the game, you have no excuse not to have an idea. Other than I stuck my head in a hole in the sand. Fast. Shut everything out. Don't listen. Don't read. And let God speak to you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, even though God showed me on the first election of Obama, he was going to get it. Again, I told you that I shared this with another brother, and he said, no, God didn't tell you that. You somehow tuned into the demonic world. Okay. Well, when it came true, he was depressed for a year. And I was praying for this president because I'd gotten over my depression. But you see what I'm saying? You can think what you want all the time. If it's not the will of God, this is where people need to start. Second closing. This is where we need to get to. I promise you it is. It's still early. If you will get to where you will talk to God and you will listen to God about everything. We can say, bless God, I command those rain clouds. They aren't coming down. Well, how about the farmers that need it? They needed the rain. We were talking to her brother last night. He's only 4 miles away from us, I think, across as the crow flies. Pond was, he had a leak. But he said, their grass was totally brown. He said, we hadn't had any rain at all. They're only a couple miles from us. Our grass was still green. We got rain. You know, you may be saying, well, I've had enough. Well, you know, maybe a glass of water is good for you. Maybe somebody else needs a gallon. But you got to receive it at the same time. So you'll either learn how to swim or, bless God, I speak that this is only going to... How about you speak what God wants spoken? Jesus spoke to one storm and calmed it, and he walked on the water in the other one. I don't know about you, but I think our faith needs to start lining up with God instead of saying, well, this can't happen, I declare it in the name of Jesus. Just because you declare it, it still has to line up with God's will. And there are things that are going to happen that we don't want to happen. But they have to happen. If you've read anything in the Bible, it has to happen. Remember Peter? All right, this is part of it. Jesus was talking. This is still part of the second closing. He said, oh, was it the third one? Jesus said, I must be crucified. I must die. What did Peter say? Lord, this thing will never happen to you. He thought he was speaking faith. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, enemy. You're my enemy. Get behind me. You're blocking what God wants done. Just saying. I want you to know who I am is. You got to know him personally. He'll speak to you however you listen best. And I got to tell you, I like music and I listen to a lot of music. I got music going all the time. People say that's a sign of a sick mind. You're trying to just do this and this. Well, I ain't denying it's not sick. I'm just saying I get a lot from music. And it does not matter. I got to tell you, sometimes it doesn't matter who the artist was. Sometimes it's been artists that I'm like, Lord, this is the first time I ever heard this song, and I do not listen to this group. God said, just shut up and listen. Okay. Wow, you said something. You spoke to me through them. Just kind of like Balaam getting talked to by a donkey. God will use what God will use. Yeah, think of how low that prophet had to start feeling. God had to use a donkey to talk to you. All right, let's stand. Getting to know God is not anything that's going to happen overnight. It takes time. I'm still learning more things about God. Take the time. Talk to him. Go for a walk. I used to talk to God all the time walking through the woods. God, I need a girlfriend. God, I want a girlfriend. He says, well, you ain't got a job. I get a job, find out I'm going to ship out overseas. Then he gave me a girlfriend. You'll get to know God if you will take the time to listen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly honored to be called your children. But Father, I pray right now for each and every person in here that you begin to open their eyes, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, to show them how they listen best, how they can move and get closer to you, how they can experience you. But Father, I pray that they grow. They grow stronger in their faith, in their resolve, and they will not back down from believing that you are. Lord, that they will lay the past down. Father, help them. Show them, first off, they must lay the past down and that they have to embrace you in order to get through that. So, Lord, I thank you for them. And, Lord, I know that as they go through this week, you're going to bless them. But Father, I pray There are some in here who have had doors closed that you didn't close. I pray that you open them, Father. You open those doors that they may walk through, and then give them the courage and the strength to do so. Father, I thank you for these. I bless them as they go about. I pray that you move in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.